All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Eternal Athletes Podcast. I'm Erin.
I'm Ryan.
And we have with us a very special guest to kind of walk us through her journey. I guess I should say run us through her journey since she is a, I know, right? Cross country runner from Harvard University joining us, freshman there. So we're going to talk a lot about her story, how she ended up at Harvard, because that wasn't the initial plan, which sounds crazy because I think most people probably want to go to Harvard really bad. That would be their first plan. So kind of how God directed her steps to lead her to where she is. So we're definitely excited to have Mackenzie Delisle with us. Thanks for joining us, Mackenzie.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
You're welcome.
Yes. Can't wait to dive in, Mackenzie. Yeah, I know you have a, you know, an awesome story, you know, a faith, obviously sports, you know, some cool records. I know you had, you know, some stuff going on with, you know, college decisions coming up. So can't wait to dive into everything.
Absolutely. So let's start off. We always like to start off with our guests just kind of talking about when that intersection happened between the sport that you play, so within running, and your faith interaction, because I know some kids, we've talked to a lot of athletes who grew up in the faith. They were going to church every morning since the time they were born. They don't know any different. And then through sports, they kind of found other teammates and they could kind of dive in from there. We've had stories of people that didn't know Christ at all until they joined a sport. So kind of maybe just kind of walk us through a little bit about your story, your background, your upbringing in the faith, and then when it kind of started to click that you could intertwine that with your running.
Yeah. So we definitely grew up in a God-fearing household. My mom, my dad were always very adamant and like taking us to church on Sundays, praying, always saying our prayers before bed. And we were also a really big sports family. So it's always kind of been intertwined for us. But I went to a Catholic middle school and a Catholic high school, but I started running my freshman year at Bishop Borough. And that was just, that was an insane kind of intersect, I guess, for me, because it was so easy, I guess, to intertwine sports and faith because I went to a Catholic school. So before races, we would always pray as a team before in our little huddle. And it was just never like a bad thing to be praying before or like praying after, or even just like thanking God for the opportunities we got that day. So it was really special in that way, I guess. And it was also very easy to like spread the gospel in that kind of way, because no matter what, and we would also kind of invite other teams too, if they, or under other individuals that would want to like come pray with us if maybe their team wasn't Catholic Christian, didn't want to pray. But it was just really special, like time for me. And it happened my all 4 years. And the last 2 years I was the captain of the cross country team. So then it was my duty to pray kind of over the team before the races. And it was really special. We got everyone involved, and like it was just, I don't know, it was a really special time.
Yeah.
And I'll always look back on it and like be thankful that I had that in that community. So yeah.
I love that. I love that you invited others to pray with you if they didn't come from a Christian school. Did they take you up on that, or would other people come pray with you?
Some did, yeah. It was but it was also kind of daunting. Like not everyone always wanted to, so it was kind of scary asking. But if we like were like, oh, we're praying, you want to come pray? They definitely would. And it was also very, we did it a lot in track because that was more of an individual sport, I guess. So it was more like your heat. I don't know if you guys know anything about track, but you have like different heats. So like our heat would pray together, maybe even the whole race would pray together. And it was like really special. So in our like community. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I mean, gosh, in our eyes, that just seems like a dream of like just Jesus and sports, like your whole life, it seems like, you know, so that's really cool to see all that unite, especially more in the competitive space. You know, yourself, you know, starting, you know, junior high, or more in high school, you were mentioning. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
And I love that you just said too about like some people that was daunting and you were afraid, like some people didn't want to pray with you, but I feel like it's so amazing to just err on that side of, you know what I mean? I'd rather ask someone to pray with me and they say no than them secretly wanting you to ask them to pray with them and you never do.
Exactly.
So I love
that. Yeah, it was really special. And I also like, I feel like it just connected the whole group of girls and it just like calmed everyone's nerves in a, like a good way. We would like connect hands. And I know with my team, especially like in cross country, I'll shift back. We would like kind of squeeze each other's hands. Like it was a heartbeat going around the prayer circle, which was really special, I think. But yeah, it was just something that really like calmed our nerves, made everyone feel ready. And everyone just kind of thanked him for the opportunity that like we got that day to race. So, and like offering all of our success up to him. So it was like really special.
That's perfect. Cause like as an athlete, the tension and like the, adrenaline rush, you know, before competition starts.
Yeah.
You know, you can get so nervous when it hasn't even started yet and everything. So, that's actually like really cool, you know, to calm your nerves and everything. And not that it's a strategy to calm your nerves because we want to pray to pray, right? But, you know, the side effect, hey, calms your nerves as well.
Yeah.
So. I think that's good too, to get your mind focused right from the beginning, because it's a team sport, but it's also individual. Like, you want to win, but it's also, I feel like when you start off that way, reminding, you know, keeping first things first and reminding that, like, hey, no matter what happens, like, this is just a minuscule thing in the big, what's the word I'm looking for? Big scheme of everything, you know? So, and did you mention you just started running your freshman year?
Yes, I
you
did.
Didn't run before that?
No, my mom, I was actually a gymnast prior to that, like for 6+ years. Yeah, I was a big gymnast. And then going into my freshman year, my mom has always been like, she ran track in high school, but she's always been like a hobby jogger, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she encouraged me to like kind of like try out for the cross country team just to see if I could like make friends, get used to the environment, kind of stuff like that. While I was still doing gymnastics. So it was very hard at my first few months there. But right away, my first race actually was like quite the breakout, I think. Yeah. I ran really well. I think I came second or third on the team. I'm not certain on that, but I was on varsity and I came second and third as a freshman, and I was like a itty bitty thing. Like, I was really tiny. So everyone was just like, whoa. What is this girl doing? Like, how did she get there? Yeah. And that was kind of an eye opener for me. It was just a different environment, a healthier environment, I'd say, for me. So like, pretty soon after that first race, I knew I had potential, and I kind of like shifted away from gymnastics, and I kind of shifted and like embraced cross country and running since then. So, but credits to my mom for making me go.
See, mom, know things. Kids need to. Okay, if you're listening to this, listen to your mom sometimes, okay?
Yeah.
We care. We know stuff.
It almost like came natural, you know, whatever, when you're starting like that. Obviously, a lot of hard work. Don't want to like discredit, obviously, you know, the hard work and everything.
All your hard work in gymnastics probably helped you, you know?
Yeah, and like obviously discipline. Was going to ask, you know, in your upbringing and stuff too, and that's awesome you brought up gymnastics. Was there ever a time where you like really wanted gymnastics to be your thing? And then I don't know, maybe what was the turning point and like, I don't want to say giving that up or transitioning, or did you ever think about a long-term career there? And where did faith play a part in any of that, if at all?
So I was a gymnast for quite a long time. I think I started elementary school, maybe around third grade, I'd say. And I went all the way up through my freshman year, as I said, but, it was certainly a time. I do credit a lot of like my discipline that I have now and like the mental strength I have now, like from, I credit gymnastics for that. But wow, that was a sport. It was very mentally challenging, but for a really long time, like that was my thing. Like, I loved it. I loved to go to practice. Like, I still keep in contact with like a few girls, and like, they're some of my best friends still today. So, it was definitely like, I would not change it or like trade it for the world to like be a gymnast during that time. But wow, it was a time, like towards the end of my career, I was kind of dealing with a lot of like mental blocks, and like, I was just not having as much fun as I was like in previous years. So when I was encouraged to like try something new, I was very like, oh yeah, let's try something new. Let's see if I like this better. And like I said, July 4th, we had a 5K across the bridge, in my hometown, and my mom made me run it because it was like a few weeks before the first cross country practice. And I finished the race and I was just crying. I was like, mom, please do not make me go to cross country practice. Like, I cannot do that again. I was like sobbing, hyperventilating. It was so bad. And I was like, oh, I'm not cut out for this. Like, this is horrible. Like, I'm a gymnast. Like, let me do cartwheels. Like, let me go flip. Like, I can't run. And
give me the pommel horse.
Wow. And then she forced me to go to practice, thank God. And we got into that, how I like really had a breakthrough there. But gymnastics was really, really mentally challenging for me, I'd say. And I actually, like, I was still going to church every Sunday through that time, because I said we grew up in the faith, but it was hard. Like, I would like ask God, like, why can't I do this? Like, why can't I do this? Like, please give me the strength to be able to like flip. Or like, I was just so scared going to practice every day, because I didn't know if I could be able to go over the vault that day, or like, I didn't know if I could do my giants on the bars that day. It was just this like mental like obstacles that I had to go through every day. It was just very like tiring and like challenging. But it was, I'd say running played a bigger part in my faith. Like, I really incorporated it there. In gymnastics, I did like pray, and I was like, please, like, give me the strength to do this. But it was, I feel like it was a little less like prevalent in my gymnastics career, but it was still there for sure. But
yeah, it's
a little bit about my gymnastics side. Yeah. It was hard, but definitely I would not change it. I loved it when I did it. It was hard towards the end and I switched, but I give it a lot of credit to the sport.
That's great. And one thing I don't want to gloss over completely, but just want to draw attention to it in the world of, you know, Christian athletes and everything. I know gymnastics, there's a lot of, you know, weekend tournaments and meets, you know, if you will. So you mentioned, you know, still being able to go to church every Sunday and everything there. So I don't know, to my ears, you know, that shows that it's possible, because you see a lot of, you know, individuals and call it travel ball or other gymnasts or whatever it is, AAU, whatever the weekend tournament is, that just forget, not forget, but just neglect, I should say, you know, their Sunday obligation and everything. And, you know, the praise the Lord. So that's really cool. Definitely don't want that to be overlooked, you know, for everything here. So that's awesome. You know, you're able to do that and have that discipline, even if you're tired from the meet, tired from traveling, you know, to still get there and everything. So,
yeah. So here's what I want to know. How did you go? Okay. Okay. And so for those of you that are listening that don't know, the reason I'm asking is because Mackenzie is she's your state champion in the 1600 for Florida 2-8. So that's why I was like, man, you didn't start running till you were a freshman. And then you obviously had all this high level of success. I'm curious what happened between that 5K over the bridge and practice, meaning like, because you don't just go from starting. I mean, there's practice leading up to your very first meet where it sounds like you had a breakout meet and you were, wow, like I can do this. When you first showed up that first day of practice and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to go just do this again. I'm just going to just run.
Yeah. What
like,
happened? What happened in that month? Cause it was a few weeks before the cross country season started from where you're in that, you know, 5K. And what happened in that month to make you like still want to, still want to do track or,
Mom?
Yeah.
Mom made her.
So we had practice like a few days after the July 4th 5K. And my coach was like, okay, just run 3 miles. And I didn't have a watch. So like the girls would tell me when to turn around and go back. And I was like, if I can just make it through this, like with just jogging, no stopping, like I can do that today. So every day I kind of gave myself a little bit further. Like I would go 3.25 the next day, 3.5 the next day, just to kind of like slowly build up that endurance, I guess. And it was quite the challenge. I wanted to stop like every single step of the run, probably the first like 2 weeks, I'd say, until after that, I kind of got like the hang of it and was like, okay, this isn't too bad. I can do this. And I remember I was still in gymnastics. Like I think like pretty much halfway through the season, cross country season, but like I was terrified to do my bar routine. Right. And my coach was like, Mackenzie, you ran 6 miles this morning. You could do this bar routine. Like I remember I would run in the morning cause we had 5 AM practice and then I'd go to gymnastics practice from 4 to 8 that night. So it was like quite the load for me, but I think, I mean, it was good to, I guess, like split up my two sports in that way. But, and when I first like raced, like, I don't know what came over me, but it was like just this competitive, like I come from a very competitive family. Like we always like board game nights are not fun for our family. Some of them tears, but like, I don't know, something came out. I knew I had to run fast. I just wanted to get to the finish line. Honestly, that's what made me run so fast. So
I want to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But after that, I started to like learn strategy and like learn to actually enjoy pushing myself. But that first race was definitely like, let me just get to the finish line.
I'm with you.
So there was something that's amazing. And so there was something that still pulled you forward to do cross country, right? Or track instead of gymnastics. I mean, what was, I guess, pulling you and like getting you to like do those training days? Sorry if I missed that. earlier in that little transition time before your freshman year. What like pulled you?
I think it was just the different like environments for me. Personally, gymnastics was like, I love the people there, but it was very, it kind of got a little toxic for me towards the end. But when I got into running, I feel like there's just like endless possibilities. Like there's just so much progress you can make and you can just keep pushing yourself to get to like where you can be. Like I still have so much potential in me and like, I have these opportunities where I can like fulfill myself, right? So I don't know. I just feel like it was a really healthy environment to me, like for me to kind of like switch over. And it was just like something where like it just made sense. Like that. And my mom has been saying like for so long, but like I was made to run. Like God made me as a runner. Like my legs are pretty long. So like she's like, your stride, like God made you for this sport. So like be this sport for him kind of thing. Yeah. So to kind of glorify him. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, but I kind of just.
No, that's fine. I mean, I was just like curious. Yeah, just because of like, yeah, you hating it and then like loving it. Yeah, I was just like curious on that transition because
well, I think you get that runner's high. Like, that's not a joke,
no,
right?
I
you
agree.
Probably felt really good.
I about me for 1 second. Like, I did like a marathon, 2 marathons last year, and I remember training for them.
I remember you training too for them.
That runner's high, it's like a real thing, or like for a marathon more so, like between miles like 6 and 10, I felt the best, or whatever. But yeah, you feel good, so I can totally relate, see what you mean there. And did you have any like teammates or coaches that were like pulling you forward, or was it just more like internal? Just hey, I just need a switch.
It was like a lot of. I think me just wondering how far I could go and like how quick I could run. I think there was a lot of like me versus me in that sense. And also I always had like my parents like support. My mom was always like, okay, like she would always bike next to me during my runs. Like she'd always make sure I'd get my training done. Like, and it was just like, that was beautiful. But my freshman year coach also like put a lot of faith in me, I'd say. Like he believed in me. And I think that gave me a different like outlook on like myself and what I could do because of how much he believed in me as like someone who's been coaching for years. And that was kind of what pushed me, and I wanted to like make him proud, make myself proud, make my parents proud, make God proud. Like it was just a lot of like I want to do this for other people and like to do this for me. So it's
last question for me for
okay.
Zach. I think you have one.
I always do
more. I know you do. Okay, so obviously you love running and everything. Was there ever a time, you know, either in high school or, I don't know, freshman year, college, where you wanted to quit track, cross, anything come up there?
My senior year of high school was probably one of the most, like, difficult years I've had, like, since. Like, that's the most difficult year I've had in my life. I dealt with a lot of, like, problems in my training. Like, I was not running as fast as I wanted to. I had some issues with injuries, both my cross country and track season. So like throughout that entire year, I was just going through obstacles. And like I'm sure we'll get to later, but like my college transition, I was committed one place and then I ended up having to decommit and deal with that whole process over again. And I don't know if you know anything about the recruiting process, but that is one stressful process. So it was just like things packing on like college applications. It was just like such a hard time for me, and I was like, I don't know if I am I meant to do this, like if by decommitting from one school, does that mean like God doesn't want me to run, like did they drop me because I wasn't good enough? Like there was a lot of thoughts going through my head that was like really degrading, and it was really hard to keep going and wake up for practice because like what am I doing this for, like why am I doing this to myself? There was a lot of that because I was in pain like running. I was trying to push through like my injuries so I could like defend my state title right in the mile. And it was just like, it almost came to the point where I was dreading going to practice and running, which was like not where you should ever be in like a sport that you want to continue, obviously, in the college level. So it was a lot of ups and downs for sure. And it was a lot of stress and pressure and sad, scary times. But I also, during that time, I had a lot of really good people around me and like people who like kept me in check almost and like was like, you're here for a reason. Like, all this stuff. So it was really hard, I guess. The senior year was definitely a difficult time in my life, but thankfully for the people around me, I stayed and I was like, I am meant to do this. Like now I found my love for running again, and it's I'm definitely in a way healthier position than I am than I was in my senior year. So
And the crazy thing about you saying all that is like you're already a state champ, and like you know you're like in the world's eyes, like in your eyes too, like, hey, you're good at this, and you're still thinking about, you know, letting it drop potentially. So that's just, you know, crazy, and obviously requires a lot more of that external support, you know, if you will.
I think that happens in a lot of athletes we see too, because most athletes that are competing and they're competing at a higher level, you do put a lot of pressure on yourself. So it's one of those things where it's probably you climb this mountain and you work your butt off to become a state champion, but then sometimes it's even harder and more pressure on yourself to maintain that than it is to get there. And so it's just, you think you get there, but then there's still always going to be that more pressure. Mainly that comes from ourselves, but I like how you mentioned having those people in your corner you can talk to. And I want to talk about those too. And since we already did kind of like talk about it, can you, let's talk through like that recruiting process, because since we're there, I think it's a good time. Yeah. So you were committed to go run at, you were, where, tell us that. Where were you going?
I was going to go to the University of Florida.
Okay. Big deal. So that's a big
deal.
SEC, D1. Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you probably
signed
for that in the fall of your senior year. Like, is that when you signed?
I didn't sign. I committed the summer between my junior and my senior year. And I visited April of my junior year. So I like kind of knew I was going there for a little bit. Yeah. I think I was committed for 6, 7, 8 months at the time. And it was something where I was like, I was in love with the school. Like I had all the merch. We had the hats, the shirts, like
Gator
and all was UF. Yeah, exactly. There was like a Gator flag in our living room. Like it was set. Like I was going there. Like it was really nice because in Florida we have bright futures. So like the tuition would be paid for, but just because I had met these certain scores on my tests and like had these service hours. So like it was like the dream, right? Like I was going to this big SEC school. Like some of my friends were going to go there. Cause it's really popular to go there in my state. But yeah, I was just like, I was in love with it. I love the coaches. I love the team, the facility. I was like, this is perfect. Like I'm meant to go there, all this stuff. Right. And so I was committed for, like I said, that amount of time. And in November, I was texting the coach like, oh, when can I sign? Cause I was supposed to sign later that week. And he was like, let's just have a chat on the phone. And I was like, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, okay. Cause I heard some rumblings about the SEC rules changing for cross country and track. The roster limitations kind of were set in place during the summer. So like basically they had to like squash the roster. Like half the team was cut, all this stuff, right? So I was hearing all these rumblings. It was making me nervous. And we got on the call and like he was like, yeah, we don't have a spot for you right now. I'm sorry. Like I'm really, really sorry. He couldn't really say much. And there's no hard feelings towards him at all because he was a great guy. And I'm sure there was a lot of pressure from like overhead saying you have to cut these people, right? So a few other recruits were cut as well, which was like hard for us. Immediately I was like, what do I do? Like if the past 7 months I was like, I'm going here. We have this merch. That's the only school I submitted a college application for. So I was like, what do I do? Like how do I get to school? And I had to open up. I started talking to people. I was like, oh my gosh, like, am I even supposed to run? Like, was this God telling me I'm not supposed to run at school? Right. And I just remember that night was like a really, really low point in my life just because I was like, I'm not cut out for this. And already my season wasn't what I wanted it to be because I was just dealing with these injuries and like this pain. And I was like, I don't know who's going to take me like at this point. Right. And I opened up my recruitment. I started texting coaches, like calling coaches. Right. And one of those coaches, Harvard, I was talking to the coaches there. And immediately they showed a lot of interest and they had me out on a visit. That January. So it was like a month after I got the call saying I didn't have a spot. And I went there and I like fell in love with it. It was during J term. So no students were around, but the team was around and they were practicing and stuff like that. And the team was just so incredibly like, it was like a family. And like me stepping in, it wasn't like weird. I wasn't like cast out. Like they hung out with me. It was just like a perfect scenario. And I was like, wow, like, I think I'm supposed to be here. Like I fell in love with it. And I remember this was like the distinct moment I decided I really wanted to go there, but we went to a Froyo shop like right around campus. And I don't know if you know the song Vienna by Billy Joel, but that's like one of my favorite songs of all time. And like it started playing in the Froyo shop. And I was like, wow, like that was the sign like I'm supposed to go here. Like, yes. Like, wow. It was a really surreal moment. And I called the coach, a few weeks later, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to go here. And we had to go through this whole process because the Ivy League is really like, we have recommendation letters and there's this whole big process. You have to go through interviews and stuff like that because you also have to be an asset for the academics as well. It's not just like, oh, you're good at your sport. Let's go. Like you had to be smart. Like, you have to have a good GPA, good test scores. So there's a lot of pressure on that side as well. But We got through all of that, and I was like, finally in. I made the commitment, and I signed, and all this stuff. And it was just like, the only way like that could be explained is because God knew I wasn't supposed to be going to UF. I was supposed to be going to Harvard. And like, even now, like almost out of my first semester there, like I still completely agree. Like I was meant to go here. Like I found a good church group. I have teammates that go to church with me. Like I don't know. I can't even say. I'm like kind of speechless right now because how much like there's nothing else that could explain it. And like how even this like hard, really low point has turned out to be like such a good pivot in the right direction. And like now I have so many endless opportunities, and like I'm in a great position. I have teammates, friends, coaches are great. Like I couldn't ask for anything more. So yeah, it's kind of
I
story.
love that. And I know
Yeah.
it where you're coming from, because sometimes when you have a feeling that's so strong, it's really hard to describe like those feelings that you just know. But what I'm learning and what I'm hearing is that God can use anything to let you know you're in the right place, even if it's Billy Joel and Froyo. Like, he'll use it
Exactly.
to let you know, like, yes, this is how it's supposed to go. And I think it's really cool too, because I remember when you and I were speaking last weekend, you'd mentioned that, every Sunday at 5, you and your teammates go to church together. And so I don't know if you mentioned you do Bible studies or something, but it sounds like it's a place that you can grow academically, athletically, and in your faith with that strong core group of teammates you have. So that's
Yes, for sure.
real.
Yeah. It's really nice. We have like a certain structure. Like we always meet, go to church, and then we also after that we go to the same Froyo place after church for our it's our like Sunday reset, we say. Go to
That's
church and
gonna
then
be your.
Froyo. But
I have a feeling it's gonna be like your favorite shop,
it already
your
is.
restaurant's shop.
Most definitely is. Yeah, it's
Okay.
great.
Most importantly, too, is your house now totally redecked in Harvard flags in the living room now?
Yes, there
Okay.
is so much merch like everywhere. Like my
That's
parents
good.
have so many hats, shirts,
What is the
we're decked
mascot
out.
for Harvard? Is there a
It's
mascot there?
Go Crimson, so it's a color, but it's
Okay.
like we don't really have a
Fun.
mascot, I guess. But yeah,
No, that's fine. I
want to be
was,
different.
I wasn't sure.
I think.
So that's crazy. And then so it'd be really hard for you to see your life like at UF right now compared to like Harvard. So like you don't want to say like God works in mysterious ways. He works like exactly the way he's supposed to work. That story that you just shared with like the recruiting process, I don't want to say it's like the epitome of what like trusting in God. And the verse that always comes to my mind is Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll set your path straight. So, and there's other verses obviously that's allude to the same thing, but just stepping out on faith, taking it one day at a time. That had to be like so crushing, and you probably couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel right when you got that call from that Florida coach, if I had to guess. Golly, I couldn't. I obviously didn't have
That was,
that
yeah. It was
situation, but
crushing for sure. Yeah. And actually, the next, I think I had a day in between, but then the next day I had my regional like cross country meet. So I had to get up right back and like I had to
oh,
kind of like
snap.
take it all in, and I had to race, right? So I had to suppress all the feelings of like the unknown. Like I had no idea where I was going. And then I had this interviewer at the end of the race ask me if I'm excited to go to UF, and I didn't know what to say because I'm not going there anymore. So I was like, can we cut that out? Maybe like can we like can you just edit that? Like, but it was a really, really tough time, and it was there was a lot of unknown and a lot of like, what am I here for? What is my purpose? And I just didn't know for a while. So yeah, it was a lot.
I want to dive into that.
I do too. But I do want to make note of something real quick.
Okay, you
Right,
make
you
your.
write, you make your note. But I think too, though, I want to just point out too, I feel like that's one thing I love about sports so much, and the beauty about sports, because sometimes when things don't go our way and we don't have anything we're still doing or teammates, like it's easy to fall into a path of your dwelling in that sadness. But you ha I think it's a blessing that you had that meet that next day, because you had to get back up and be around teammates and be around people, versus if people don't have that, it's just kind of like this downward spiral, right? So though it sucks, I feel like sometimes that's such a benefit of a teammate and coaches and having those things that we have to go out and do, because it keeps us moving
Keeps you
forward.
moving.
And
You can't pout, if you will, for too long, you know, outwardly and stuff. So
gotta get
your game face on.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask on where faith played a part in that, you know, your reliance on God in that month, you know, a few weeks time frame before you committed to Harvard and everything before Billy Joel in the Froyo shop. So that transition from that phone call to the Froyo shop commitment, where did faith play a part in, like, were you ever just like, God, where do you want me? I mean, what did that all look like? Was there ever any like runs you went on where you're, I call it angry running. I don't know.
I call it rage running. I do a lot of rage running.
Anything like that where you're like, God, what do you want? I don't know.
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of questions that I was asking God. I was like, why? Like, at first I was quite angry. I was like, why did you do this to me? Like, why did you put this, like, before that, I thought God wanted me at UF. Like, I felt good in that decision. I thought there was a good faith community there. Like, I was like, oh, I meant to be there. And God, I thought God gave me the sign to go there, right? So I was like, what is happening? Why are we switching up now? I was just very upset at first. But after my teammates and, like, my friends were a really big support during this time. And I just really started to dive into, like, journaling and, like, kind of journaling my feelings as well as, like, when I would go to church. One of my really good friends and teammate, she gave me like a journal for like a Bible journal for going to church for my birthday earlier that year. And I started really using it. I wasn't using it before. And then I was like, I just need some guidance. I'm just very lost. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to lean into my faith. Right. So I started journaling at church, really taking notes, like trying to figure out where I was supposed to go and like trying to navigate this really hard time. And it was honestly like very comforting to just go to church and know at a certain point I was like, I know I'm going to be going where God wants me to go. So I need to like stop worrying and let him take control and like give him my worries, give him my nervousness. Like I was a mess. And after that, I just had to like bring it together and I had to give it all to God. And I think that's when things really started to click for me, when I stopped trying to be the one controlling everything. Cause at that point there was very little I could control, with the roster spots. Like I didn't know what to do. So by giving all my worries, and my like sadness to God, that really, really helped me like with clarity. And, when I finally went on that visit, obviously like that was quite, a breakthrough, I think. And it just made so much sense to me. And I could tell God knew I was supposed to be going to Harvard so
I love that. And again, back to the whole God knows exactly what he's doing. Where you might think like, oh, I made the wrong decision to committing to Florida or whatever, but no, it was the right decision. You made the right decision with the information you knew at the time. You went with your gut. I'm sure you prayed about right going to UF for a while, and you know God gave you that. However, you know, it's all part of his greater plan, right? Because would you be as reliant on God if things went perfectly, you know, and stayed at Florida? So it could be a thing where God okay, I'm going to let Mackenzie do all this and take it away because, you know, I'm going to, you know, turn her heart to me more, right? And have her need to rely on me more. So when I'm hearing that, that's what I think of. And just like, hey, this almost needed to happen in some way so I could give more glory to God and put more, you know, faith in him. So so that's great. In a number of other reasons, I'm sure, but that could be one of them, right? A big one, giving it all to God.
How did your friends and family and coaches react to this situation with Florida? And you, were they the kind that were like, it'll all work out, or, you know, like pray with you, or how did they react and how did that help you, I guess?
Kinda? Yeah, I definitely had a combination of reactions, which I think was like best case scenario for me because I had different people to go to for different things.
Yeah.
But like originally my parents were, as you'd imagine, pretty mad. Like we had all our eggs in one basket. Like we were set on this school and one night it just like the switch was flipped and I didn't know where I was going anymore. So for the first like month or two after, like they were pretty upset, but they were also very comforting in the fact they were like, oh, it's going to work out. God has planned for you and it's going to work out. Like, you can't be stressed about this. Right. So that was good from their part, because whenever I was home, like, it was, they made sure I was doing okay. Like, we were a big part in my communication as well. Like, I was like, oh, should I reach out to the school? And they were like, oh, maybe not, maybe you should. Like, it was very helpful in that sense as well. And then, like, kind of shifting to like my friends and my teammates, they had a funny reaction. They were definitely like pretty upset at first as well, but then they just were such a good like support group that I could like go and talk to whenever I needed something. Like, I had a really good group of girls that played different sports, and like I w was really good friends with them in school. And they were just like really, really helpful. They asked me if I wanted to hang out or if I needed any help. Like, they were really, really good with making sure I was okay, and like making sure that I could also get my mind off recruitment and like the whole thing that happened. So that was really, really helpful. And I definitely got a few really long texts that were like so like heartfelt and touching, and like I knew that like this was almost like God speaking to me through them, and like God put these girls in my life for a reason, like so they could comfort me through like this hard time, right? So that was like really, really special, and I'm really grateful for them, and I'm really close to them still. So it's
Good.
like a really fun like full circle moment, I guess, like to see where I am now versus where I was like this time actually last year. So that's really like fun. And then my teammates were probably like the ones closest to it all, because they're also runners. So like they also know about the recruitment process. They knew how excited I was to go to UF, and like they know running really well. So they are also some of my closest like faith driven friends. And they were just really, really like comforting almost. Like they invited me to church. My one really good friend, she invited me to church, and she just wanted to like, she really like, she is my like shining light when it comes to like people who I look at. Like, I see Christ in her all the time. So for her to be behind me like and in my corner and like always making sure I was okay, it was like, it was just, I had such a great like group of people surrounding me. So like I'm
That's
so
amazing.
thankful for that. But they're probably the only reasons why I like got through that time, because of them and like how I was leaning on God at the time. But yeah, they were definitely, they played a really big part in how quick I bounced back and how I was able to like continue my recruitment. So yeah.
I love it. So one thing here, I just more of a comment, if you will, then like want to get more into like the actual nitty-gritty of like faith and running and like truly, let's talk more about the praying, before, during, after meets, like faith in action and stuff. I just wanted to make the comment of like, obviously you're going through your situation, of the whole recruitment process not going how you want in a weird situation, weird transition, all of that. I think, that builds strength, in a lot of ways, just because, hey, we're gonna be entering, a corporate world, real world, entrepreneurship world, whatever it is, post college, 5, 10, 15 years from now, whatever it is, there's gonna be a lot of crazy stuff that happens where you have, 5 years worth of work all built up that's just taken from you, overnight, and you're gonna have to rely on that faith, whatever the situation is, obviously happens to everyone, but what you went through in that transition is obviously just going to build up your foundation of faith and strength later to be able to adapt to whatever comes your way, right? Because you've proven it already. You've proven it. You can adapt and overcome, right? So that's great. Wanted to ask, I know we were talking about like praying before, during, after and all that. Just want to dive into the weeds a little bit more there. A little bit, I don't want to call it more applicable stuff, but I don't know. For example, favorite Bible verse. I mean, was there anything you always thought of during your decisions or multiple Bible verses? Anything stick out to you there?
So my favorite, I'm sure you've heard this, is probably a popular answer, but it's Philippians 3:14. It's just it's been my favorite Bible verse for quite a long time. Like when I was a gymnast as well, I actually had like the decal on my wall, like of the Bible verse, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've just really, I guess, tried to embody that for as long as I can remember, because that's been my favorite for God
I
knows how
love it.
long. But yeah, so actually we had this thing. I was the captain my senior year, and I thought it would have been really cool to like write Bible verses on our spikes. So they were like mesh, and we had Sharpies and like fun colors and stuff like that. So we sat down after practice one day, and we just wrote our favorite Bible verses, or just like we are capable, like God is within us, like you
Oh,
cannot
that's
break her,
cool.
right? So It was really special to do that as a team. And then also just every time we raced or did a hard workout and we put those spikes on, like that was the last thing we saw, right? So it
Sure.
was kind of fun to like re-cement that in our minds. And another thing, when I was racing, I also was talking to a lot of like sports psychologists and like how to get through these tough races, right? And they were like, well, something that would be really good is if you repeat something that like is something important to you or like something that can make you keep going, push through the pain, right? And I remember my senior year, my like saying was, I am capable. God makes me capable. Like I was like, God's within me. I cannot fail, right? So I had a lot of like, God strengthen me. God strengthen me. Like allow me to push through this right now. So that's what I would repeat in my head to kind of associate with the pain, but also disassociate in the sense that I'm like taking, not taking, but like embodying his power, his grace, and like continuing to push through this race, even if it was the most painful thing I've ever done in my life. But yeah, so that's some of the ways that I incorporated my faith in my racing and like my spikes and
Yeah.
but yeah.
That's like the pinnacle of like what this is all about and like truly faith in sports. Like you can't like intersect faith anymore in sports than to like be on mile 2.5, whatever, you know, your final sprint to finish your 5K, than to say, you know, I am capable, God is with me, you know, God makes me capable, all of that. Like that's like the epitome of faith in sports. So
Well, that's
that's
why I
great.
was like so curious with like cross country running because I'm like, there's
You
a
have a lot of
lot of
time.
time to mess with your head, right? Where it's like playing
So
basketball, I'm
much.
shooting a free throw, I've got 5 seconds to think about it and it's done.
That is
You know what I
true.
mean? But like when you're running, it's just a constant.
Yeah, that's probably a lot more mental.
And then the weather, I'm sure they didn't cancel a meet because it was raining, you know? So it's like rain, snow, hurricanes, whatever.
I doubt
Yeah.
hurricane.
I mean, they were in Florida, so maybe
Well, I don't know. Okay. Yeah,
they tough it out there.
tough it out.
But yeah, you got a long time to think about it. And I like that you talked about like with a sports psychologist because I do think that like I mean all sports, but I do feel like especially like those long distance, like it can mess with your head. You know, if you
It was really, really challenging. And like in cross country, we have the most insane courses. Like we're back in the middle of the forest, like for half the race. And a lot of the time, no one is out there. Like it's just you racing against the girls around you, but also like there's a lot of the time where you're by yourself, whether that's like when
You're
you're in
way out
front
in
or like in
front
the
of
middle of the
everyone.
path, Were
right?
there people that were
Exactly.
brutal? Were there
And
some elbows or anything?
oh, definitely. Like everyone says it's not a contact sport, but there's definitely like off the line, like you want to get your position, like there's definitely some elbows thrown. So, and
Okay.
yeah, but yeah, definitely in the back of those, like in the woods, like you lose yourself a lot. Like that's where the thoughts creep in and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can push through this. You can't see the finish line. You can't see anyone really. There's no noise. Like it's just you and you can hear yourself breathing and like you laboring. And it's just, it's such an interesting feeling. And you like can't really describe it unless you're in that moment and like feeling that pain of like not knowing if you can keep pushing and keep running fast. But that's where I really had to like bring in, like I said, like my like repetition where I was like, God strengthens me, like God is within me, like I'm capable, right? So I had to like literally repeat that. Like it's is quite a time. But yeah, it was interesting, yeah.
I don't want to say I can relate because I'm not as fast as you, but like I'm sure.
But I walked a mile once
well,
and
no.
that was
You know, I remember that weirdly, and when I can relate in some ways with the marathon or whatever, you know, the few I ran last year and everything of just like just needing to like repeat that. So I can totally see how repeating that constantly would help you and everything there. So there's that component. And then okay, the state records wanted to talk about. Humble brag. It's okay to brag for a second here. A lot of hard work you had in here. But you're a two-time state champ, is that right?
Just one time,
One-time
but
state champ. Okay,
yes, one
state
time
record.
state champ.
Rude, Ryan.
Sorry. Oh,
No,
2A. Sorry, my notes. 2A.
2A.
Okay. Sorry. Class of 2A. Okay.
So
Yeah,
more
that's the
state
call.
championships than I have. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay,
It's
so
okay.
a state champ, a school record,
Yes.
right? And what
Yes.
was the
So
time?
yeah, I 459, but I think the record is 458. Like that's the record. I didn't run that at states, but that was my personal record.
Okay.
Oh,
Not bad, not bad.
My goodness. Yeah. I can't even unload my dishwasher in 4:58. Like that's
yeah.
Listen, my 2025 resolution was to run a 5K every month, right? Because I needed to keep doing it. And I remember, I think my fastest is like 28 and a half. And I was proud of it. Like,
yeah. She's doing good.
Okay, listen, I'm also...
You're good.
Okay.
You're winning your age group.
I'm winning my age group.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, little wins.
Yeah, I did once. I do have a couple of medals. Okay. But that's not the point. I don't want to get off topic. My point is that's crazy fast. That's wild. I'm sure at the end of that, you want to throw up because I don't think you run a mile in 4:58 and feel amazing afterwards, right? Like maybe euphoric, but physically, I mean, that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember after States specifically, like right after I won, I felt horrible. Like if you look at the video, I like lean over at the line just because I didn't know like that last stretch if I could make it over the line. Like I thought I was going to fall or something. Like my legs were getting out of me like while I was running. And I like leaned over and I just remember like I couldn't like feel really anything. I just remember like I was smiling so big. Like I was in so much pain, but I was like, yes, finally, like I got that state title. That was what I was working for like the past 3 years. And it was just like an insane, like surreal moment. And even though I was in so much pain, like it was just like I had the biggest, cheekiest smile on my face. So
when you say that, my biggest thought is that I just imagine that being like the end of the race of our lives, right? Like we're in so much pain because life is life. Life is life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and there's a lot of hard things that we have to deal with. And it is hard. And we don't know if we finished. But when you're saying like, but you have this biggest smile, like I feel like that's kind of what it's going to be like at the end of our lives. You know, it's like, but it's hard, but.
I hate to keep going after that, but like I have another question.
Oh, go ahead.
That was a great analogy there. And I was going to ask, living out your faith, right? In a Catholic upbringing and junior high, high school compared to, an Ivy League school, right? In my eyes, I don't know, Ivy League a lot, but college in general is usually a little bit more secular, than high school can be. So what are the main challenges you feel there? I mean, do you feel a lot of maybe pressure to like, I don't know, hide your faith a little bit more? How do you navigate that? You know, the differences of high school and college, right? Living out your faith.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like a whole different ballpark, right? So there's a lot of different, it's so much different than my high school one. And you kind of knew everyone, at least knew about Jesus. Even if they didn't believe, they knew what was happening in my praying and stuff like that. But like college and like Harvard is like a whole different, like there's so many different faith groups because students are from all over the world. So there's people believing in every different like religion, and it's like special in the sense that everyone has their own thing, but also it's kind of scary like not knowing like whether you can be like, oh yeah, I'm going to church, like do you want to come with me? Like it's kind of like when I'm telling my roommates, oh, I'm leaving for church, like I don't really know how they're gonna react the first time I said, but they were very like obviously really nice about it. I love my roommates and they always support like my different endeavors, but it's definitely like a scary experience, and it's a lot more scary to like invite people and to come to church with me, but it was also very good when I did have my teammates to like kind of accompany me to go to church, so it wasn't as scary to like go alone because I have them and like we always go. So but yeah, it's definitely different. It's a lot of-
I can see that. And it's only been a few months, at this or whatever it is, 3 months ish or whatever. It's just kind of finding that nucleus, finding that little pod of
nucleus.
I was a biology major. I couldn't tell you.
We're
what
trying
it is
to speak
anymore.
Harvard now. We're trying to fit in.
Trying to show off here. I forget what I was talking about.
I'll find your nucleus. Find your core. You found your core.
Find your nucleus and get the mitochondria with you while you're at it.
That's the energy.
The powerhouse of the cell.
Powerhouse of the cell.
That's all I remember.
But I do think that is encouraging though too, because even though I think that puts you in an uncomfortable position with people that you're not sure of, but again, like you said, like you're in a place now where there might be an opportunity for somebody to hear about Jesus for the first time. And I like that you have that nucleus and that team of people. to encourage you and embolden you that you feel like you don't have to hide your faith where you are and that you can be that, you have support and you can go to church. So that way I feel like, you know, you're so young, you know, but like as you grow in your faith and the next couple of years here at Harvard, you'll be, I mean, you already are prepared. It's not that you're not prepared now, but I'm just saying like, as you continue to be able to tell people about Jesus or answer questions about the gospel. I know that was like a big fear of mine when I was younger, is if people would, if I'd be like, oh, I believe in Jesus, and be like, why? And I'd be like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? But it's different now, but I'm just saying like, I just think that's really cool. And I think even having other world religions like around where you are doesn't have to be scary, because I think that sometimes when we learn about them, it makes it easier to share Jesus with them, right? Because you can, what's the word I'm looking for? You can kind of like, I don't want to say advocate for Christ, because Christ doesn't need an advocate, but like you can kind of, you know what I mean? Preach the gospel more when you're coming from a place of understanding where they're, what they believe in too. So
yeah,
it's not a bad thing. It could be a really blessing that you're there to.
And like, even if obviously, we want to, you know, evangelize, you know, vocally when
that's
we can.
That's the word, evangelize. That's what I was looking for.
Evangelize. But, you know, St. Augustine said, you know, preach the gospel at all times, you know, when necessary, use words. So a lot of times, just, you know, your friends, colleagues, people of different faith, they can see like your Christian roots and everything just in the way you treat people. We like to say, be the face of Jesus to others. I think you mentioned one of your friends, you know, was like that Jesus shining through her and everything. So just like that, you know, that example of, you know, serving and everything there is going to be perfect and help a lot. So, so that's awesome.
Is there, we also want to find out too, if there's anything, because I know we covered a lot of stuff, and I just want to make sure that while we're wrapping up and coming close to an hour here, if we just want to open up, if there's anything that you have like on your heart that you want to share, maybe something we didn't talk about that you would like to talk about or reference, or any kind of like words that you would give to maybe a younger athlete going through struggles that might be kind of like, God, why would you do this to me? Or like, God, like, why am I, you know, things aren't going well, kind of imparting your wisdom onto them as far as.
What would you say to 16-year-old Mackenzie?
That's a good, or we could put it that way. Now. Yeah, man, that's a good question. Guess that would have been the best way to say it.
That's a hard one. Let me think about that for a second.
We asked like 10 questions at once.
I guess let's just start with like, what advice you would give to someone struggling because they're they have an injury or they got cut.
There's something like, there's so much we don't know in this world that we're not even supposed to know. Like, and it's okay if we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think I would tell myself like, it's okay if you don't know. Like, you got to go day by day and trust that He's a plan for you. And at the end of the day, it might not be your plan. Like, my plan was to go to UF, but that was not His plan. So I followed His plan. I'm at Harvard now. I'm living my best life. Mm-hmm. But it's scary in those, like, dark moments when you don't know and you can't control what you want to control. And I think it's really important that you trust in Jesus and you know that He is controlling the outcome of your life and that He has a plan for you, and you need to trust in that.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful. Yeah.
Perfectly said. Yeah. Probably harder to do, but perfectly said. And obviously, you lived it and, you know, are living it now. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely awesome. It's always hard to like try to wrap up these podcasts because like, I just want to keep talking. I always have like all these questions about sports, Jesus, like, you know, how you work with the team, different, you know, team members praying, all that kind of stuff. But I think we went over a lot of awesome stuff. I mean, your story is like absolutely inspiring, you know, switching from gymnastics, you know, trusting the Lord to, you know, have His way and work with you in track and cross country. Now, obviously one of the biggest events in your life, you know, switching up your commitment from, you know, UF to Harvard. I mean, all that's all that's great. And God's obviously got a lot of store, a lot of great things in store for you as you begin your college career and all that. So what is next for you? I mean, what's the season looking like? That, you know, God obviously has his plan, but from what you understand, God's telling you now.
What you think your plan is.
Yes. What's next for you coming up here?
Yeah. So I actually haven't raced this whole season, which is interesting. But I've been dealing with like a few bumps in the road. Like I found out I was really low iron at the beginning of the season. And then that I think correlated with, I now have a stress fracture in my femur. So the road continues. So the tough challenges, they keep coming, even if you think you're in the right place, which I know I am, but, and I know I am in the right place when I know, like, I love to be there and I love the people, even though I'm going through these hard times, that I still trust in God's plan that I will be running in the next few months. Like I think I'm healing really well, so I should be running hopefully by outdoor track, which will be fun to like finally be able to rep the Crimson. But there's just life hits you hard sometimes, but you just got to get up, and God has helped me. He's put his hand out and he's lifted me up, and even though I've been going through these challenging times and they continue, I never fail to understand that this is part of his plan. And I sometimes can't rush things like that. I have time, I have opportunities waiting for me. I just have to trust and believe in the Lord.
Sorry, and I can't believe it's been 55 minutes and we just now got to understand your current situation. Your stress fracture on your add on top, I know obviously, you know, we're persevering and we've already, you know, gone over that, but like, what you've got just the last year, you know, the whole commitment thing, and now like this injury, like you thought you made the right, you know, coming to Harvard, now like you can't even run right now, like that's got to be even more frustrating, right? In a lot of ways. So I know you're probably still navigating, like, hey God, I know you got something for
we'll
me.
Have to
I know
do a part
reason.
Two after their first race,
and then
give us an update. Yeah.
So a few months. Yes. When's like the spring season? I know when the spring is, but like when's like that season?
It's after winter.
Yeah. Thanks.
There's indoor track. Indoor track is from January to like March, and then outdoor will be from like end of March to May ish June.
So it's still a few months. So optimistic, you know, if rehab goes all right, can do some indoor or no? Would that be
maybe
hard
towards
still?
The back end? It's it's hard to know because bone issues are so like tedious. Like we don't know exactly. We want to be really careful with like the coming back process, so I'll hopefully start like walk jogging January, and then we'll see. My training obviously needs to ramp up after that, and we'll see how like it reacts, but I should be good to go by outdoor track. I'm praying that I am, but
we will be praying too.
Obviously if that's not the plan, it's not the plan, but I'm just working every day to try and get back, so
Sorry, last question. How do you think you're supporting the team? Yeah. I don't know, just for athletes. There's probably a lot of athletes in your situation now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right? But, it, you know, it's a situation. How are you supporting the team, or how can other athletes support, you know, cross-country team members?
Yeah. So even though I'm not racing or, like, really running, I only can cross-train on the stationary bike for 30 minutes every day. But I always come to practice. I try and be around the team as much as I can. So when I do come back, like, it's not like, oh, she's back. It's like, I've always been here. I'm just like finally running now. But I feel like I've been put to like support the team well. Mm-hmm. So I'd actually traveled to the conference race and the regional race for cross country the past month-ish. And I like made posters. I spent a lot of time making posters and they turned out really good. But I think they were glad. There was a few of us that came up and like we drove up to the race to support, but we had posters. And we were just like really supportive, and I was really glad that I did go to that because it just made me happy seeing them doing what they love and like me being just able to like support in some way and to like contribute to the team in some way. So that was like really fun and a really good, and it kind of like eased my mind a little bit too, because it's hard being away from the sport that you love for so long. So like being able to just be in the environment is really special, and like I'm grateful for that opportunity to obviously get the race. But yeah, I'm just trying my best to support, and like I'm also kind of, I don't want to say therapist, but whenever they have problems, like they talk to me, or like, I'm like, oh, good luck. You got this. Like, don't worry about it. This is an opportunity. Like all that kind of stuff. So I just try my best to be a positive asset Yeah, in any way I can. But yeah.
Let them know your, I don't want to call it secret prayer, but your mental prayer of your running God is with me.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm really excited that you brought that up. But I'm really excited to, like, when I do get to run, I'm excited to invite people to pray with me and, like, being that person to kind of step up and, like, do those prayers, because I haven't tackled that yet in the college scene. So I'm excited to do that. But yeah.
That'll be perfect. And would just require that much more faith, right? To, you know, to do it, you know, be bold and everything there. It only takes a few folks, right? You know, to pray like that. And, you know, would encourage you not to, I don't know what word I'm looking for is, but, you know, maybe be passive about it, but yeah, just, be bold with it and, patient, I should say, if no one follows you right away or not many people follow you, you know, you can,
I don't think that'll be an issue.
Well, yes, yes. I think you got it, but yeah, the ripple effect, can start with you for sure. Well, awesome. Erin, what other questions?
I'm good. I feel inspired. Sometimes when we do these interviews and I talk to these people that are like half my age, I'm like, I'm learning all these things. Like, I can't control everything. And, you know, and I think that's a common theme we see with athletes, right? Because, you know, you grow up and it's, you know, what you put in is what you get out and it's up to you. And, you know, if you want it, it's yours for the taking, go get it. But then you realize, oh, God, we have to follow God's plan too, you know? So, it's not always on us and everything. So I think this conversation has been a really good reminder of that and a really good reminder of making sure, you know, that we have those right supports in place and the right people, and why having people of faith and TV, you know what I mean? Why that's so important, because we're going to go through things, and you set that nucleus up correctly in the beginning, then that can be very helpful in life. I mean, you'd be saying nucleus all day. So. But thank you so much for joining us. I think this has been very powerful. Yeah. I think a lot of athletes listening to this will be very, very relatable and very inspired by this.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I was just going to say inspired. Yeah, what you've gone through, Mackenzie, and what you are going through now, obviously a season. We know it's all to, you know, glorify God and, like, you know, him calling you to lean on him more. And, you know, whoever's listening, if they're going through something similar, you know, your call to action, if you will, to lean on God more. So, yes, absolutely.
So we will follow up with a part two. There will be a part two, because we'll reach out once you start racing and just kind of hear your experiences. So
please do. I'd be excited. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
We're in. Absolutely. We're locked in now.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Mackenzie. Well, thanks for joining the Eternal Athletes podcast. I'll say a quick prayer here as we bring this in for a landing. God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we are created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Please send your spirit upon Mackenzie and the whole Harvard cross country team. Please bless Mackenzie, especially as she, you know, works through her injury situation now, and help her be a light, you know, just in her dorm, in her university, and ultimately in the community and eventually world. So send your spirit upon Mackenzie, and thanks, Mackenzie. Thank you, Mackenzie, for hopping on here. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This was a quick hour. This, like, flew by here. So time flies, having fun, talking about Jesus and sports. Mm-hmm. Can obviously do it forever. So perfect. Mackenzie Delisle, everyone, Harvard cross country. Thanks for joining. Have yourself a great day, everyone. God bless.